With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's Buckle Movie Club.
I'm gonna dine and dash on Snag.
Oh.
I'm already rolling because I think this is funny. So.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys ready to go?
It's gonna be a good one.
Okay.
Yep.
From the top.
Here we go. Here we go, boys. One second. Got to get my notes up. All right. We're starting from the top. Welcome to Puckle Movie Club. I am your host, Ethan, here today with my co-host, Snag. Go first.
Professor Snag.
And Lord Yashiro, second, but yet not last.
And we're here to talk about Pokemon Movie 8, Lucario and the Mystery of Mew. We're a little bit loosey-goosey here now, because we just kind of had an aborted recording. But, you know, we're ready to rock and roll. It drops some Pokemon knowledge. Pokemon Movie 8 came out in 2006. We're coming up on the 10th anniversary here. 10 years, yeah.
It's crazy.
Some might call it a classic in the Pokemon canon. I say some... Not necessarily myself.
A lot of emphasizing there.
This is a major one. This is, I'd say, in the Pokemon movie canon, this is generally regarded to be one of the better ones, if not the best. But as we'll delve into, maybe not a shared opinion around this table.
No, definitely not.
He's throwing shade already. Okay. Snag, you actually watched this with your children.
Yes, I did. We purchased this movie as well as the Manaphy movie on the same day. We watched them all together, and they both kids like both movies. It's Pokemon, so how can you go wrong at that age, right?
Well, all right, A+. So within the target demographic, Pokemon is an A+.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's what really matters. We're watching their movies, really. Their opinions could kind of be more valid in some ways. But anyways, Lucario and the Mystery of the Mew. You guys ready to dive in?
Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Let's take our aura and do this.
Let's take out the trash. Or wait, what? That's not it. Okay. So the movie opens, as we're told, in a world before Pokeballs. Like this is long in the distant past of the Pokemon world. And we follow Lucario as he runs around using his crazy aura powers, kind of like Spidey senses in a way. If you've ever seen the 2002. Classic Spider-Man directed by Sam Raimi.
Spider-Man comic.
Or if you've ever experienced Spider-Man.
Or it's like, I say he has Assassin's Vision, like from Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, or you know, Detective Vision, any number of things. And he's running around and he detects an army, or two armies, as they are marching towards each other. And the armies are composed of Pokemon and people. And these Pokemon, they do two things. They speak in guttural sounds, and they wear armor. which are not things the Pokemon are typically known to do. Yeah, they it's really odd. They don't really say their names at all. They just go like,
It's kind of strange that there's an issue where Pokemon doesn't keep track of how they make their noises of their own Pokemon. And in one episode, a Pokemon might go rough, and then the other go meow, and there's no correlation whatsoever. It's kind of weird.
That was my favorite episode, where they all started saying rough.
Yep. And then meow.
Yeah. Anyways.
Don't get me started on the caw ones.
Yeah, Lucario finds these armies, and he's like, he touches a crystal and begins communicating with his homie back at a castle. His homie is named Sir Aaron, and so he starts talking to his buddies like, hey, the war's going on, and we should get this out of the way now. Sir Aaron looks dumb.
Yes,
he is a dumb.
Glad you brought it up.
Someone had to say it, man.
But I also have a question.
Yes.
It's a comment, but also a question. Why does Lucario sound like Batman?
Because he's edgy. He's just kind of edgy. I bet he sounds like Shadow the Hedgehog, too. You know, like, that kind of character.
I bet his parents died when he was a kid.
What was that?
I bet his parents died when he was a kid.
You're probably right. I'm inclined to agree.
So I have to ask, I'd never thought about this. Why do you think Sir Aaron looks dumb?
It's because he's got, like, the maximum fedora on. He has the biggest fedora. I'm sure there's plenty of wonderful people out there who wear fedoras on a daily basis, but, you know, the clothing item, the fedora, has kind of got a bad rep nowadays, and he's wearing the biggest one in history. Very proudly. And it's just, he's a little bit over-designed, and it's really on the nose how much he looks like Lucario. I don't know. Anyways.
I can agree with that.
And also kind of like Robin Hood-ish.
Yeah.
But with a cape, because a cape always improves everything.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. Like, would Spider-Man be good with a cape?
Well, we don't know.
He'd be getting caught up
on
the cape.
They did give him that weird underarm web.
Oh, the armpit webbing. Or webbing, rather. Armpit webbing. You know, I went to an armpit. I went to an armpit wedding once.
This is really derailed, and I love it.
It was a real stinker. Anyways, he's got maximum fedora, and the princess is like the most generic looking princess ever. Like, she could be a Zelda knockoff in like the late 90s. You know, like. Put her in.
Well, and we'll
go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, after you.
Oh, all right. We will see another princess when we come back to present time. And to be perfectly honest, I don't know if I could tell the difference between the past princess and the current princess.
Yeah, that plays into the actual movie very briefly. they look dumb for different reasons. But yeah, so Sir Aaron comes to Lucario's rescue when Lucario is getting attacked by a bunch of Houndoom. Lucario is blind now for whatever reason, and I'm not entirely sure why that happened. Do you guys know?
For some reason.
Yeah, it's like sand in the face, but it's not that bad because he does have his assassin's vision.
Right, and that allows him to see Sir Aaron up on a pile of rocks.
Spider sense from that one movie in 2002.
Yeah, which one? I didn't watch any movies in 2002. So, anyways. Sir Aaron comes, and he sucks Lucario into a staff. I mean, it's very obvious to the audience what's going on at this point. Like, it's clear that something's going on. Like, Sir Aaron's not just becoming evil out of nowhere. This must be a part of a plan, but Lucario doesn't see that, and he just gets sucked in.
And it comes, it stems from the conversation with the princess, where obviously he's talking about sacrificing himself, and the princess won't have it.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, you could just immediately pick up from here, like, hey, Lucario, he's gonna do this so Lucario doesn't try to follow him or whatever. So he sucks into the staff, and then the princess hears a cry coming from the Tree of Beginning, which I misspoke the entire time. I watched this movie with a friend, by the way. And the entire time when we were like trying to discuss what was happening, we referred to it as the Tree of Life. Because it's just that. It's just, everything's just that. Don't stop having trees as plot devices, please. Yeah, a Pidgeot turns into Mew and flies into the Tree of Beginning, for whatever mysterious reason. And then all of the, like, the army Pokemon get frozen in time. But I don't think they're actually, like, frozen. I think they're kind of just stuck. I don't know. What's going
on? I think what the narrator says is, through Sir Aaron's sacrifice, which we'll find out about later, their fear and anger turned into understanding and hope. Or I think they all just became brainwashed.
But. Why didn't they do this earlier? That's what I'm asking.
Because it took a sacrifice to be able to do it, and Aaron was the one to do it.
But this war seemed inevitable. Like, they should have... This is a foregone conclusion at this point.
Yeah, so is the marvelous Pokemon plot. But this event does remind me of two things. Before, it's how it kind of looks like Pokemon Conquest. That spin-off game, RTR game, yeah, that came out
2010.
So that was kind of cool. But also, it kind of reminded me of the 3,000-year-old war in Pokemon X and Y with AC.
Yeah.
That they used a great weapon to stop all the fighting, but it ended up killing everyone. It kind of reminded me of that. So I kind of don't believe the narrator when he says that everyone went back to their original homes. I think they all died. But that's my own personal theory, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
The narrator's just trying to clean it up a little bit for the kids.
Yeah.
Maybe. Maybe that's possible.
Yeah.
So we go from there.
The G version of the story.
Yes. You got to keep Pokemon G. No hex around here. No use of the word heck. So we go from there to a horrible CGI monstrosity, which is the princess's castle of the modern day. And it looks like Peach's castle from Mario 64. That's what I'm saying.
It's clear that the budget on these movies have dwindled a bit. Because their computer generated stuff, it's not even decent. It's just plain mediocre.
It's pretty ugly.
I would say it's awful. This was the turn of most animation out of Japan around this time. Like, I watched Ghost in the Shell 2 recently. You guys know the movie Ghost in the Shell?
I'm familiar with it.
They're very PG movie, of course.
Right. We're not going to endorse watching Ghost in the Shell. You should totally watch Ghost in the Shell. It's awesome. But Ghost in the Shell 1 is renowned for having like really amazing detailed animation. And Ghost in the Shell 2 has like so much CGI in it. And it's just really frustrating. And it came out like a few years before this. And it was really showed the turn of Japanese animation towards CGI, where they can do it, you know, like no vehicle is animated traditionally anymore, but I digress. Watch Ghost in the Shell 2 if you are of the age to watch that. Anyways, so horrible CGI monstrosity castle, Ash and Co. Find themselves in this town, during the middle of a festival, because that's just what happens in these movies now. Ash and Co. end up in a place when a festival is going to happen. I think this is like, let's see, 2000 did this,
yep.
Forever did this, this one did this. Are there any other ones?
Did Heroes do this?
Heroes did this. Jirachi did it. Heroes had that. They had that racing event going on, so yeah, technically. They really wind up at the perfect place at the perfect time, don't they?
Anyways. They really do schedule these festivals around really apocalyptic situations, that's for sure.
Ash is a bad omen. If he comes to your town, first of all, he's the new most important person in the entire town. He's actually the most important person in your entire history.
He's like an Absol.
Yeah, like, he shows up and something bad's going to go down in your home. Get ready for your home to be destroyed, loved ones to be sacrificed. Really, we should stop this monster from destroying more towns. Anyways, so they're like, okay, we're going to come, or we're going to participate in this festival. We got to get costumes. And they do, this is Whimsy now, by the way. We're in Whimsy world. And they're just, they're playing dress up. And they're like, oh, we're going to put a Pikachu in a costume. And they do. And they all look completely ridiculous. They look freaking clown shoes up in here. Ash
quite
is.
Quite literally, Pikachu is dressed as a clown.
Pikachu is dressed as a clown, yes. And Ash is dressed basically identical to Sir Aaron from the beginning, because he just knows. It just happens for him where he dresses up the exact way he needs to so that he can be confused for Sir Aaron. Is this Ash's privilege? Is Ash privileged?
Yes. I'm going to go ahead and say yes, because it's kind of ridiculous. And I understand that he's the protagonist of the whole anime, and that's just fine. But could the writers think of a better excuse to involve him into the plot that is not having be him being the chosen one, the man with the perfect destiny, the man with... I mean, I just don't get
it. The one guy with the aura just like Sir Aaron?
Oh, God. Like, it can't just once be... Ash is just, he has really strong ingenuity and he just figures everything out. Like, I always has to be even, destiny.
Even in other animes, like Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z, Goku wasn't the end-all, be-all of all characters. He was there, he was important, but in many cases, he just wasn't the one to fix things.
This guy has like 18 prophecies written around him. so yeah, Ash dresses up like Sir Aaron. And then he participates in a battle. Like, this is what the festival's built around, is a big tournament to see who's the blah, 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 you know, that thing.
Yeah.
And he fights this lady with crazy hair. She got crazy hair. What is her name
and
again?
And this is where the music, Kid, is it? Which is disturbing by itself.
Oh, yeah, her name's Kid. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. And this is where the music starts. And, oh, my God, this movie has the worst music of all Pokemon movies.
This is Advanced Battle, right? Which yes. Song is this?
Yes.
This is Unbeatable, which could not be a more ironic song for Ash.
I'm unbeatable. Bad, bad. I lost again. I don't know.
It is horrible. I'm going to just read a little bit of it. It says, I am unbeatable from the stars and the ancient past. They come to play, but they will never last. And yet this guy can't win a single league.
Hey man,
so
he won this
song
tournament.
Is talking about.
The only but tournament that matters is this one right today.
Yes, he does end up winning this tournament, making him like the festival champion, or I forget what the proper title is. But
he's
a
champion,
win this one.
Chosen one, king for a day. I don't know any of these things. And he gets handed this legendary staff, which seems a bit much to give this 10-year-old kid. This is like an ancient relic, one of their most treasured artifacts, I'm sure. And they just give it over to Ash, and he's like, ha ha! Because you know how Ash laughs at everything? Have we ever talked about this?
Yeah. Well,
no.
We didn't need to talk about it. It was just an elephant in the room.
Ash, I want a supercut of Ash laughing as things happen around him. Ha ha! Ha ha ha! Ha! That's my Ash impression. I don't know.
That was spot on. Wait, 4Kids is going to call. I'm receiving a call from 4Kids. Apparently, Ethan, they want you.
I knew it.
You're just going to do his laugh, though. Nothing else.
Pikachu! Because that's what he... Like, the amount of times he laughs while saying Pikachu is also just obscene. Anyways, I digress. I'm just being a grumpy Gus over here. He wins and defeats Kid. And she's like, hey, you're really good at battling. And then there's a ball. They have like a post festival ball, and everyone's having a great time, including the horrible CGI monstrosity dancers in the background.
Can I rewind a little bit back to the battle? I have to say also that even though we've seen these obviously music battles intros in every single movie, I have to say that I'm always kind of looking forward to them, although we've seen them in every movie, because that's our chance to be able to see some Pokemon that we haven't seen before in the anime battle and actually focus on battling, because it's the music is going on and this is the intro of the movie and we can see some awesome attack moves. And this one was really disappointing, for me at least personally. I just couldn't get into the battle, couldn't get into the music because it was horrible. So I was kind of disappointed.
I am 8 movies in at this point, and I could not care less about any of these sequences anymore. I am so done. listen, this is my soapbox. I'm going to get really close to the mic here and just destroy this, okay?
Listen to me. I'm done. No more montages.
Okay, sorry guys. Never again.
Something that I want to mention really quickly, because I made in my notes here, I see that. So this is technically a Gen 3 movie. In the sequence of movies, this is still a Generation 3, since yes. Hence the song "Advanced Battles."
But it's right on the precipice.
And with that being said, there are actually, this must have been a treat for a lot of people in the theaters, because there are a lot of Gen 4 Pokemon in there. You got Mime Jr., you got Munchlax, you got Lucario, Weaviles.
They're primary characters in this movie, or, you know, like towards the forefront of the movie, I'd say. Like, they get a lot of stuff to do.
Watching this in 2006 must have been really cool to see those things pop up and be like, oh, cool, what's that Pokemon?
I would be losing my mind if I saw Weavile all the time. Because they get cool things to do in this movie. The CGI dancers are not good. Don't do that. Please stop. Please stop having CGI dancers. Not that there's much dancing in the future movies, I'm sure. Crazy hair girl kid, whose hair continues to be crazy, she gets into a sneaking suit and starts grappling around the outside of the castle that they're in, trying to track down Mew. Like, she communicates with a person in a command center somewhere.
Yeah, which is kind of weird, because it started out like this whole Mission Impossible, right? Because she's in a, you know, tight suit, and she's communicating with someone who's giving her instructions. And you get the idea that even Meowth, when she, because of course, we haven't said it, Team Rocket is there, obviously. Yes. They're always there. And Meowth takes a peek, and he notices she's there, and catalogs her as a thief, but apparently she's not a thief. I mean, I got confused.
Maybe he was just had the wrong idea. You know, that looks like thievery is about to go down, though, when you get a sneaking suit on, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so she grapples her way around looking for Mew, and she uses her Weavile. She sends them out to go put a tracking device on Mew when she finally finds him, which I thought was kind of neat, because they're giving a Pokemon something to do that a human couldn't do. I don't know. It's a neat action for a Pokemon to do. If that makes sense.
It totally does. And we're going to get to this more soon. And Mew continues, even though my feelings for these movies are, for this movie, is kind of mixed, but Mew continues to be my favorite mythical Pokemon. Mostly because, number one, he doesn't speak, yes, which I greatly appreciate. And without speaking, he's able to communicate just fine, mm-hmm, with all his sounds and his meowing and his cute and adorable facial expressions. I really, really can't say enough how much I love Mew. And I wish every single mythical Pokemon would just be like Mew. Why don't you just be like Mew?
I mean, every Mew is... Oh, go ahead.
Mew is pretty awesome. I mean, you can't get much better from mythics. It's my favorite too, Jashiro.
He's a real trickster, which I like. Like, he just kind of throws a monkey wrench into things. Like, he teleports away at one point.
But in a playful way. Not like Jirachi, who's kind of like a prick. But more like just playful nature, because he is himself is just a cute little puppy.
Yeah. I echo everything you just said. I agree with all your sentiments there. Mew teleports away, taking Meowth and Pikachu with him. Then we go back to inside the castle, and Ash is told to start the fireworks. Like, he's supposed to give the order to start the fireworks, but he was never told how to, which is kind of a jerk move on the behalf of everybody involved in the festival, where they're like, hey, idiot, start the fireworks. Just kidding, you don't know how. And then they, like, dog him for not knowing it, though.
I mean, he has that special aura, so he should just figure it out on his own.
Yeah, I guess if he's the chosen one, he's not a very good one if he doesn't know how to make fireworks happen. He starts the fireworks, And then, how does Lucario come back? I don't have that in my notes.
So when in the middle of the ball, when they were all celebrating, it was time for Ash to do the famous stance of the hero. And since he has the same aura as the hero of the legend, he did the same stance, and apparently that is the cue for the staff to release Lucario. Huh. Of course, we haven't mentioned that ever since Ash got the staff, Lucario has been whispering traitor into his ear ever since, which is not creepy at all.
No, certainly not. That's not going to traumatize a 10-year-old kid. So yeah, Lucario comes out of the staff, and then he thinks that Ash is Aaron, because he's still blind at this point, and he's just reading his aura. But even when he's reading his aura, Ash is significantly shorter and stockier than Aaron is. So, like, you think just by pure physicality alone, he'd be like, that's not Aaron. That's not my dude. But, yeah, then Lucario starts to realize, like, that everything, that he's been trapped for thousands of years inside that staff, and he's not happy about it. He's not happy.
And who would be? I mean, if you're stuck in the same place for 1,000 years, I'd probably be pretty cranky too.
Yeah. So the princess explains to him what happened, and Ash, Lucario leaves because he's upset, and at this point, Brock starts hitting on Extreme Sports Lady, and I think that's like one of the funnier flirting sequences. Flirting's really generous for Brock at this point. Because he's just...
It is.
He's harassing this girl.
But I think this still reminds me how much I miss Brock.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. His horrible, horrible ways are a relic of a time gone by. but yeah, this is probably one of the funniest ones in the entire franchise. Because as he's like, you know, getting on his knees and being Brock, Mime Jr. is mimicking everything that he's doing, and I think that's just a good image. This is funny.
It is totally hilarious.
Ash leaves to follow Lucario, and he follows him into a building, and then Lucario tackles him and acts all edgy. He edges all over the place, and he's like, I don't have any friends, blah, 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 blah. I'm Lucario.
I'm Batman. I mean, Lucario.
Cold as steel.
Yeah, he's as cold as ice, like that song, Cold as Ice. We cut over to Mew and Company, and he's hanging out with Meowth, and Pikachu is knocked out, I believe.
Yeah, I know, and at this point, Ash hasn't realized that, of course, that Pikachu has disappeared with Mew. And this happened while Kit, who was going around searching for Mew in her tight dress.
Yes.
We haven't.
I was gonna overlook the nature of her sneaking suit.
I got there.
But if we're gonna talk about it, let's talk about it, okay? Let's have the discussion. Okay. First of all, she got in her upper zone, she has like a hole cut out of the middle, and it's just like right in the undercleave area, I would say. And that's just not okay for my children's films.
Not okay by children's films at all. Pretty good for a PG-13, though.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, Power Girl in the comics has got worse than that. So, like, shoot.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
anyways, back to the movie. Sorry to cut you off with
no,
my...
No worries.
Okay.
So, Weevil tried to attack Mew while they were all partying in the attic, because, of course, Pokemons are not allowed in the ball.
Yes.
And... Mew, at that point, as you mentioned, Ethan, is where Mew disappears with both Meowth and Pikachu, and Weebiles weren't able to capture them. But in that process, both Kid, which is the tight suit girl, and Max is his name? Annoying kid?
Yes, that's Max.
Sees this happen, and they're the first to realize, well, Mew was here, and he disappeared with both Pikachu and Meowth.
Now, can we just take a second, and I'm gonna roll us back to the ball, because I forgot to mention this. why does Ash just assume he can throw his Pokemon out? Like, why does he think it's cool? Nobody else has their Pokemon out at this ball. He's just like, oh, I'm gonna throw my Pokemon out, which he does. Like, that's not cool. Pokemon can't be everywhere. They're animals, man. Like, it's ridiculous.
And like Snag, who's a teacher, would know, or professor, I'm sorry, not a teacher, professor, would know, if you let one kid do it, do something, every single kid will want to do it also, and that's what happened.
Lo and behold,
that is what happens.
Mei immediately throws out her Pokemon as well, and it's just chaos. These are lawless children in this world. They don't know respect for authority or decorum. Anyway, so Mew hangs out with Meowth and Pikachu, and they're having a meal, right? Is that what's going on with Ash and Co?
Yeah.
Still has not noticed that Pikachu's gone. Which is weird because they're basically attached to the hip, if I'm not mistaken. I've seen a Pokemon thing or two. I believe Ash is friends with Pikachu. And
I think so. It's still a rumor. It's still up there with the fact that Ditto might be a failed clone with Mew. It's kind of that there. We don't know yet.
Unsubstantiated rumor. So Brock is just looking around for food that was stolen. Or not stolen, but it's like gone. And he finds Bonsly, who has stolen their food. Bonsly has the worst voice in the history of Pokemon.
Yes. Well, did you already cover Keldeo? No, you haven't covered Keldeo. So let's go back. Has the worst voice right now.
Has the worst voice in Pokemon history. It's like the voice actor didn't even try. Like, does somebody have an impression of this? I know that somebody can make this voice here, and I don't quite remember it enough. I just remember it being bad.
I can't remember. Well, I do remember. I just can't put myself to repeat it.
Bonsly! It's just like that. Like, it's Bonsly!
It was really, really whiny. Yeah, it was pretty terrible.
Bonsly! It's really... It sounds like a South Park character or something. It's terrible. So, Pikachu...
I can't remember. The narrator for this movie is not the same one as the last one, right?
Nope. No, I have that in my notes.
It's horrible.
He's, like, doing a terrible impression of the narrator from Pokemon.
It's the first thing I notice as soon as the movie starts and that weird-ass voice comes in. It's like, that's not the correct narrator.
In the world of Pokemon! That's not what he sounds like.
And he talks super fast. It's like I have to get through this as fast as possible. And it's like, oh my god, what's going on in this movie?
They've only got me for 35 minutes of studio time. Like, the union only allows me to be in here for 4 hours. Like, I don't know.
But we digress yet again.
we'll talk about voice acting unions someday. Brock meets Bonsly. And Pikachu and Mew travel through the Tree of Life in like this weird tunnel kind of thing. They'll become like pure energy at some point. I don't know.
Mew keeps kind of dragging them around.
Right. Which is, you know, whimsy if you like that. Which I'm officially over whimsy in my Pokemon movies. I want somebody to track how I talk about these movies in the first episode versus now. Now that I'm 8 in, I think by episode 20, it's going to be like, you're just going to hear a bottle clanking as I throw back shots the entire time.
Volcanion? What the?
I don't even like have any nostalgia for these movies coming up. This is going to be hard. Ash and Co. recruit Lucario to go look for Pikachu, right? That's the next stage. And they come across, as Brock so eloquently puts it, a bunch of geysers, and which apparently just makes hot springs. That's not how hot springs work, but whatever. They jump into these hot springs, which hot springs, I don't know if you know this, are scalding hot. They will ruin your life if you touch them, but they're just in there. And the water is like this horrible yellow murky liquid. It's really rough. But yeah, they just hang out there for a bit, have some whimsy, and then Mei looks up and like they're by a cliffside, and she sees further up the cliff. Hey, is that a flower up there? And Ash immediately goes and climbs to grab it, even though he's wet, and he's trying to climb a cliff face with wet hands. Whatever. He grabs the flower and it breaks, like the stem breaks, and he falls into the water. And Ash and May complains that he didn't have to pick it, and then he's going to have to replant it later when it's very obviously like a weird crystal thing of some kind. Like she refers to it as a flower after she holds it, when again it's very clearly made of like a crystalline material and not of this world.
Yes, and the fact that immediately Kid, again the tight suit girl, immediately identify it as a time flower, and again, this is where my problem is. And in our previous recording, I mentioned that liberties, that was my issue with this movie. This is one of those liberties that I kind of have problems with, is the fact that how many magical things they are in this movie, considering, I mean, Pokemon have always been magical creatures, yes. But in the human side, it's always been more technology-based than magic-based.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon themselves are magical. Humans and their things are technology. And I like that as part of their like continuous lore of Pokemon.
Yeah.
And this movie is a little bit too magical for my taste.
I can see that. That's a really neat way of looking at it. I really haven't seen from that perspective. But when you talk about it like that, yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, because we just saw, right, in last month we covered the Rayquaza and Deoxys films, and they were in technology, mostly, right? The whole movie was based on technology, and I think every single one, before that, it maybe Jirachi would be another exception, but that's because of the nature of Jirachi making wishes. But mostly are based on technology, and this movie is more based on fantasy, and it just felt out of place. Like I in this movie more than any other one, I felt like I actually was watching like an alternate universe. Like, now, this is not the Pokemon that I know. This is just an alternate story in an alternate universe, and it's just something different.
I kind of like that otherness of this movie, because the other movies ride the line between just feeling like an extended episode of the anime.
Yeah.
Where this feels more like a side story, which is, if you're like 8 movies deep at this point, like, I kind of like that they're trying other, you know, other types of settings other than just the forest or like a city. You know what I mean? I kind of appreciate what they were going for, and that's, it lends some sort of world to this movie, and, It's a side story for sure, but I don't really mind it. It's like as the in Japanese, it means you got gaiden, which means side story. It's like a gaiden.
Okay.
And I appreciate that, but you know, differing opinions. I'm certainly not in love with this movie or anything, but Ash picks the crystal and May dogs him for it, and then they sit around. Is it a campfire? And then Ash starts talking about how he met Pikachu, and he go, you know, it's flashback to the first episode of Pokemon, and it's about how he and Pikachu weren't the best of buddies when they met, and Lucario sits off to the side, and once again, edges out, and just reflects on how he came to know Sir Aaron and their relationship, and he walks off, and then Ash follows him. And he's like, why are you such a jerk, or whatever. And then Lucario starts talking crap about Ash and Pikachu's relationship, and Ash does not like that one bit, and assaults him. Ash assaults...
It is exactly that. It's an assault. It is animal abuse.
He tries to lay a beat down on this animal, who happens to be the only way that he could possibly find Pikachu again. Which is not great tactics as a leader. And then Lucario is super upset about it and wanders off even further, which he does a lot of in this movie. And then Max goes up to him later and gives him chocolate, because Max is the only one allowed to have a positive relationship with Pokemon in these movies.
Now one thing, I got to call Max out. Doesn't he know that dogs get sick if you give them chocolate? Seriously, not cool, Max.
Well, I mean,
not cool.
Trying to poison? Well, he is still type, so I guess he's immune to poison.
You give my friend. Oh, hold on, there's jokes here. Give me one second, guys. I'm sorry. Here it comes. Make fun of Pikachu and Ash, will you? Eat this, and then he feeds him chocolate and kills him. Hey, this is Ethan from Puckle Movie Club with a quick commercial break. Just letting you know that if you send an email to pucklepodcast@gmail.com, we will answer your questions. So ask us questions about what we think about movies, tell us what you think about movies, even just send us whatever you're up to. Email account is pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, it's Thatch, and I wanted to let you know how you can improve your Puckle experience. First, you can come to PucklePodcast.com, where we have a chat box and forums where you can talk to many other Pokemon fans who also listen to the show. You can keep up to date on the latest Puckle news by following us on our Twitter, liking our Facebook page, subscribing to our subreddit, and following our Tumblr. Don't forget to review us on iTunes, though. It helps us find more people to come and hang out with us, and we can have larger tournaments because of it. And if you're feeling generous, we also have a Patreon, where you can donate in return for some awesome rewards. And as always, thanks for listening and for all the support you give us. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And so they open up the flower because these are like, what are they called? Time flowers? That's like some Legend of Zelda type stuff.
Yeah.
And
it is obviously, again, controlled by the unique power of Aura, especially Ash, because his Aura is just as the legend, legendary hero, so it activates it.
So yeah, as you said, activates the flower, and they start to see the past, and it's like, oh, there was a battle going on here, and then they get to see the communication or what happened with Lucario and Aaron. And then Ash starts crying. I can't remember why exactly.
Oh, because he saw, well, apparently they confirmed, quotation marks in the air, that Aaron did, because, oh, at this point we haven't mentioned throughout the whole thing, is that Lucario thinks that his former master, Aaron, betrayed the kingdom and that he left them.
Right.
And that he just went out as a coward. So all this time, Lucario has been very angry of that. That's why he can't stand the companionship that Pikachu and Ash has, because he says eventually Ash is going to betray Pikachu. Right now, he even doubts, and you just said it, Ethan, that's the reason why they fought, because it's like, that's why Pikachu left, because you abandoned him. And at this point, this is where Ash sees that, hey, wait, this betrayal, which he himself doubted it, is actually what happened, at least in the eyes of Lucario. And he feels for it. He cries because he feels like, wow, Lucario was abandoned. I could have never imagined me abandoning Pikachu. This must be like the worst thing in the world.
At this point, the entire group, after seeing this scene, like, kind of turns their opinion of Sir Aaron. Like, yeah, he's kind of a real jerk.
Thank you very much for the insight, guys. That's really helpful. I would have just glossed right over that because I'm kind of bad at this. But yeah, thanks, guys.
Not at all.
that was really insightful.
Ethan, you have a hard job. We applaud you for it.
That's why we're here.
Thanks for showing up. It really means a lot to me. Thanks for going out of your way to accommodate me this week, which I say basically every time. You guys came in clutch for me. So then Regirock shows up. that's what happens
totally
next.
Random.
He shows up and then he starts making dubstep sounds at him. And this is where things get a little bit goofy in this movie. if this was a Disney property, this would be an extremely goofy movie.
Totally is. As soon as they started showing up and making those weird noises, I'm like, what is happening here? This movie is completely off the rail.
But this is also
I'm losing it right now.
Where I start to like it more because it gets dumber. The dumber it gets, the more fun it is. So Regirock shows up and he lifts up the Jeep that they've been riding in and throws it and starts dubstep sounds, as I said, and they run inside the Tree of Beginning looking for protection from this monster, that this golem that appeared out of nowhere. And so they go into the tree and it's like, whoa, it's crazy in here. There's so much flora and fauna. And then Thrill Seeker Girl kids, her guy radios in to her, and he's like, you're going to be in the history books, or not the history books, you're going to be in the record books again. But for what? Like, what about finding a bizarre location qualifies you for a record book?
But that, and that's a whole other point, is she didn't find anything. That was there all this time. People knew about it. It's not like a weird discovery. People know that exists.
Yeah, everybody in that small town can be like, yeah, the Tree of Beginning is right over there. Go check it out.
You just go right, then go another left, and then turn around the big rock, and you're there.
Oh, man, guys, I found this really great pizza place over in town. You're going to be in the record books again. Like, what? What? Yo, guys, have you heard of this movie, Amelie? Have you heard of Amelie? It's really great. You're going to be in the record books again. You're senile, Grandpa. Go to bed. Anyways, she just found some stuff. Like, that's like the long and the short of it. And it wasn't even her. Like, they all found it together. She's just, she's really just kind of tagging along and letting them use her Jeep. Anyways, Reggie Rock is back, baby. They thought they had escaped him, and he shows up like 2 minutes later. And then Reggie,
like, his base speed is 150 or something. He's like super quick.
Then like some Scooby-Doo type stuff starts happening. They're running around and going in and out of corridors and rooms, and like Reggie shows up at one point and he's making his own kind of dubsteppy type sounds, except it's more like electro. And then Registeel's here and he shoots a laser beam, and then they just run. And then at one, like, I'm not entirely
not to mention, Ethan, don't forget, as they enter the Tree of Beginning, there are like prehistoric Pokemon. So you got your Omanytes, your Kabutops,
your Aerodactyls running around.
I actually kind of like that.
They turn into these red sludgy things that attack all humans.
Yeah, like
weird.
Then like, okay, so they're running around. Lucario blows up a bridge so that the Regis are no longer a threat. Like, they just go away.
Let's talk. Sorry to interrupt you, Ethan, but let's talk about how Lucario is able to hold up to three legendary Pokemon.
He's pretty good, man.
That's just a little bit too much for me.
Let's check the typing, though. What's the type combo look like?
I'd say Fighting Steel, his fighting type should have an advantage over all three of them.
He's got them beat, man. I think they had their bases covered, man. You're trying to doubt the Pokemon company?
This is why I host a TCG cast and not a VGC one.
We're just goofing around here. We're having a good time. So Lucario destroys a bridge, cutting off the Regis. They're no longer a threat. But then there's crystals all over the gab. We haven't talked about that yet. There's a bunch of crystals all over the place, and nobody talked about them until this point. Like, they were just basically a non-factor to everybody until they started eating them. These crystals start turning orange and evil and eating the gang. At one point, Mei gets eaten by one, and then in her last moments, throws her Pokemon out to save them from this horrible doom and cries. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
This movie's going nuts!
Not to mention that both Jesse and James were the first to go.
As it should be. I was kind of hoping they would have been digested. At one point, during this chaos, Ash falls off of a cliff, and then Kid saves him by grappling, which is pretty cool. Then Ash gets eaten. This is the climax of the movie, by the way. It's worth noting. These crystals eating everybody is the climax.
Has Ash reunited with Pikachu? Because I know there's like a 30-second scene of them like running toward each other. Are we to that point yet?
I think that's happened at this point, yes.
Yeah, okay. That's after the bridge, after Lucario blows up the bridge. Pikachu and Meowth and Mew were crossing a whole different rock bridge all over the horizon. And they noticed they were followed by the Regis. So at that point, they ran and finally found each other.
Right, yes, that did happen. I was more concerned with all the chaos happening. Like, that was...
Oh, there's a lot of that, yes.
That's where my mind was at. This is baffling. This is just really, like, who thought of this? Like, who's like, the crystals start eating everybody, and then Mei uses her last breath to save a Pokemon. Like, what's going on here? Ash gets eaten, which is bad news, and then everybody heads to the, No, Mew shows up and releases everybody because apparently he and the tree are buddies. They have a symbiotic relationship, which I do not buy. I don't buy that. Because why?
And all of this because Ash obviously gets swallowed up and Pikachu sees that and he does the whole the same thing that Mei does. Go save yourself, I love you, and just disappears. And Pikachu starts crying, which is probably the saddest 3 seconds in that movie ever or in life. And Mew sees this and decides like, oh, okay, I'll save your friends. Fine, just stop crying.
There ain't nothing sadder than a crying Pikachu. Mew saves everybody, but then he starts to grow sick because for whatever reason. Why is he growing sick? Why is the tree dying?
I am just as baffled.
What?
Well, maybe this is what the situation is. You said that Mew had this symbiotic relationship with the tree, and the guy that Kid is talking to over the radio set said that like the red things that are getting the humans are acting like white blood cells. Uh-huh. So maybe the tree is actually feeling like it's sick.
Huh. You know, that's pretty good. Yeah, no, that's good. Okay, you got it.
We have a professor here to be able to explain.
I'm so glad that we have you guys are giving me all this insight because I would just totally miss all this. I'm scrambling to take notes down and I'm missing these intricacies in these movies.
And I totally get you because I didn't understand that part either.
I just threw that together off the top of my head.
I 100% think that's it. That's good. Thank you. Mew grows sick and the tree starts to die. And then they head to the core of the tree, everybody, because, you know, they're back.
I'm sorry, Ethan, can I stop you? I have regret. So a couple of seconds ago, I just said that 3 seconds of Pikachu crying is the saddest thing in Pokemon history.
Uh-huh.
No, it's actually seeing Mew sick. It's the saddest thing I've ever seen.
His
Pokemon
cheeks
history.
Are all rosy and he doesn't look too good. Yeah, it's pretty rough.
It's just horrible. I died inside twice.
Mew has this like Generation 1 innocence to him still, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like his design
totally.
Still has that fat Ken Sugimori art style. You know what I mean? Like, you know, everything's kind of really rounded and soft in Generation 1. Like OG Generation 1. Like the original Red. Like, you know how Red has those really weird designs? It still feels kind of like that version of Mew somewhere. Yeah. And seeing that Mew sick is not that. It's pretty good. Go ahead.
As a quick comment, feel free to cut this out if you want, but like I've been collecting the anniversary plush Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
And of those, you can tell the simplicity of Mew's design. I mean, that is by far the best of those plushes. The Mew one is so fantastic, and I think it all goes back to that great design.
I'm going to have to look into those. I got a lady friend who I might drop one of those on.
Do tell.
No, we'll talk about this later in the post episode. So Mew gets sick, which is sad, and they head to the core, and Lucario finally learns the truth of what happened when he gets there, because like, they see the flashback to what...
Of course, by coincidence, there's another time flower right there waiting for them.
Hey, man, it's like poetry. I don't know. So time flower opens up, and they get to see what was going on with Sir Aaron at the very end. And it turns out, as we knew the very second we saw what happened, he was doing it to save Lucario all along. So Sir Aaron sacrificed himself to save the tree, and that's sad. That's sad. I do like Sir Aaron's actions in this movie. Like, the things he does are, they make sense, they're heroic, but I just think his dialogue's really rough.
Yeah.
Mm.
He just, also the voice acting has so much, like, naivete to it. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway. Sir Aaron sacrificed himself to save the tree, and Lucario is able to reconcile his past. And then, so he starts to use his own aura, as Sir Aaron did, to give Mew life and, help him out.
The power to be able to stop it, yeah.
Yeah, and so he uses aura to save Mew, and then Ash, in probably the dumbest thing that's happened in Pokemon up until this point, puts Sir Aaron's gloves on and then starts channeling his own aura into a ball around Mew, and then he and Lucario together save him, or give him enough life to stop the tree from dying. Which is stupid. That's a dumb thing.
Yeah.
It's dumb. Don't.
Yep.
And again, oh, go ahead, Snag.
Oh, I was just saying, yep, in agreement.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and again, this is my problem. It's like, why is Ash suddenly have magical powers, even with the gloves? It's just so out there. I mean, I know that might be something interesting for some, but for me, it's just like, this doesn't fit into my own little world of
it's
what
really
Pokemon is.
Fan fiction-y to me. Like, it just reads as fan fiction. And I've heard tell of a Falcon Punch or some sort of punch coming from Ash going Super Saiyan in the near future. Not looking forward to that.
Oh, God.
Actually, no, I'm totally looking forward to that because that's stupid and I love that.
That's going to be great stuff to record.
That's going
to
be amazing. Here's the thing. The things that I don't like about these movies turn into really great content for the podcast. So it's a win-win for me. You know, if it's the movie's good, well, hey, it's good.
It's a loose win, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it's... Yeah. Sure. Lucario sacrifices himself. He's like, he goes for it. He's gonna give all of his aura over for this. And then he has a moment with Ghost Aaron, where Ghost Aaron's like monologuing from the past about like, oh, I'm sorry, blah 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 blah. And then, which is it's nice. I don't know. I'm trying to be cynical about this. It's, you know, it's a nice little scene.
It is.
It's one of the more effective scenes in the movie. And then, Lucario gets absorbed into the crystals, and the day is saved, the tree is saved, the kingdom's saved, and we get I'm gonna come out and say it, the worst line of dialogue in the movie so far. I know I've been saying there's a lot of worst things in this movie today, a lot of it's hyperbolic. This, I mean this for a fact, this is the worst line of dialogue in any of these movies so far. I have the quote here. Someone's like, oh, it's a real shame Lucario's gone or whatever, and then Ash is like, Lucario isn't gone, his aura is with me, and then the camera pulls out and then that's the movie. Oh boy.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Now let's have some thoughts here. I got a few brief notes to go over. That's the movie, by the way. Summary done. Maybe I'll put like a bumper here. I'll find a place for a bumper. I don't know. Whatever. That's not important at this point. First thoughts. I addressed this earlier. I do like that this is a proper side story. I like that from moment zero of like this is another world and it's going to be a different kind of adventure for Ash and Co. with more magic going on, and not like Pokemon magic, but like magic. Did like that. I like that Kid uses two Weavile. When do you ever see a character in the anime with two of the same Pokemon?
Did we talk about their fantastic little dance when they were trying to catch Mew?
That's good, yeah. No, they had, like, tactics and stuff.
They were, like, dancing, like, how do you call it? Shiva from Indian culture.
Yeah.
Where she has the four arms and she dances. It's just like that. It was just fantastic.
Yeah, and it's a thing you can only do if you have two of the same Pokemon in, you know, on a character's team. And I like that. It's just strikes me as unique. I can't think of another instance of that. Can you guys think of one, like, where somebody has two of the same Poke?
No, not really.
Way back in the day, we're talking like first season of the Pokemon anime. What's his name? There's this unofficial gym leader who has a Sandshrew and three Rattata.
Okay, but that was kind of like a joke, though, right? Like,
no, he I don't think he used the Rattata to battle, but he gave Ash his comeuppance. So
okay, fair enough. Fair enough. So that's three. That one ups this even.
AJ, I don't know.
Thanks for that anime knowledge. This is not unprecedented. Turns out I don't like this movie at all. Put in the garbage. No. Brock has the most defense. Go ahead.
As far as like the quality of this movie, I liked it. This was actually the first time that I'd sat down and watched it. And, you know, in comparison to some of the more recent entries, this is definitely a step above what we've been getting lately.
For sure. Before we go into like full blown like opinions on this, I was joking when I say I hate this movie and it's the worst. Brock has the most offensive costume of 2016. I don't care who you are. he's dressed like a monk, and I think that's like a really, it's like the most generic monk costume in the world. So basically anybody could get offended by it, and I think that's hilarious. But I digress. Yeah, so let's get into actual opinions on this. Snag, you want to wrap up what you were saying about
We have some trivia, though.
Oh, you got trivia? Oh, shoot. Yeah, I forgot. People want to hear trivia on these movies. Hit me with the trivia, man.
So at the end of the movie, we see Kid in kind of like a type of cliff where she's talking. Obviously, the music is already out. The credits are already rolling, so there's no dialogue. But she's talking, and what she's actually doing there, she's exploring, and it's actually Farina, the place that it was set on Jirachi Wishmaker. And the two people behind her are Butler and Diane, which are characters, the two main characters from that movie, and they make a cameo appearance in this movie.
Okay, wow. Oh, cool. I totally missed that because I'm a dumb idiot. Wow, that's awesome. Okay, great.
And also, this was also the debut of Weavile, as we already said, and all the Bonsley and all the Reggies.
Very nice.
First time ever they were animated.
The Reggies struck me as completely nuts because, like, I don't remember those things.
It was random. Yeah.
Yeah.
They seemed a little out of place in this. I mean, I get how they're like trying to guard the tree, but I still feel like that was out of place. But.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. This is the. I got another piece of trivia. We're gonna have to say goodbye to the voices we've come to love because this is the last film to be dubbed by 4Kids.
Yay! I mean, aww.
say your goodbyes. is Veronica Taylor is Ash, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
She's gone. I think she's gone. I don't remember though. We'll see. So yeah, let's get full blown opinions. Snag, you had some thoughts. Do you have more or?
I do have a little bit more. So compared to the movies we've had recently, basically since the fourth movie, I think this is the best one since then. But there's one thing that I think would have made this movie so much more fantastic. If they would have left out the whole beginning part that happened in the past, and as a viewer, we are on this journey with Lucario of feeling scorned by Sir Aaron, and then eventually coming to find out the truth of what happens, I think that would have been so much more fantastic than just saying, here's what happened, and Sir Aaron's not really this bad guy. If we didn't know that and we're discovering that along with Lucario, I think it would have been much more, I guess, emotional as a viewer to go through that ride with him.
Absolutely agree. This is a thought I've had as well, is that, like, they really could have used some way of obscuring that information because the reveal loses all weight because of, you know, we knew this the entire time. I you know, you pick it up the second you see what happens, like, oh, it was a sacrifice, obviously. So that storyline does lose some of its impact for that reason. What about you, Jachiro? What are you thinking, buddy?
So I'm mixed, as you know. The problem is, like I said, it's the liberties this movie took. And it just so seems so... And I think you just hit on the exact wording. It's fan fiction. It just seems so out of place with everything that we've seen so far. And it just takes a lot of different approaches. Like the fact that Lucario being the aura Pokemon in the Pokedex is taught to use his aura by a human just felt off. It's like, how can, because we've seen during the movie, there's flashbacks of Lucario's training, and we learn that Aaron is the one that teaches Lucario to use his aura, which makes no sense because Lucario is the aura Pokemon. If anything, he should know how to use from the get-go because that's his shtick. That's his power. Unless
that is how Lucario becomes the aura Pokemon. Like, it got developed early on here, maybe. I don't know. I'm grasping.
But he got trapped, though. He didn't even have a chance to breed.
Yep, I know.
You know, and it's kind of like those type of things that just were kind of cringy for me. It's not as bad as Jirachi. No, you know, I give it that. And there are some legit parts of the movie which I did actually enjoy. It's just that it just feels so off. I won't say it's the worst. I have to say that I still enjoyed Deoxys more than this one. So it's good. I mean, it's not horrible. But it's just, I have just so much mixed feelings about it.
So we had that Deoxys episode together, and I am inclined to agree that this is a lesser movie in the franchise than Deoxys. Because that movie has, you know, it, as well as this one does, it has a kind of a world to it, you know, like that city has character. And the things that stand out of this movie as being wrong really detract from the whole world that they're building, and it just kind of pulls you out of it, you know? Like, Pokemon movie where the characters go to a fantasy world could be pretty interesting, you know? Like, that's a concept. But you have to, like, really lean into it. Like, I think you have to really go for it in that sense. Like, get completely ridiculous with how much you revel in the fantasy world rather than like this half step that they've got here. But that said, it does have some of the more effective stuff in any of the movies that we've seen so far. Like, the conflict isn't like against a villain, you know? Like, in this instance, the conflict is an internal one that, you know, that Lucario has. But at the same time, you do lose like the finality that taking down a villain has. And the final confrontation just feels completely hollow, because what is this enemy at the end? It's just goop monsters. Like, that doesn't really play super well in this kind of movie. And the
goop monsters aren't even really the enemy. I mean, they're an obstacle, they're not opposition, but they are not the main enemy. It's nature is the enemy, and they're trying to, I guess, save nature from itself.
Yeah, it just kind of feels pointless. I don't know, man.
But Mew did add a lot of charm to this movie, and I can't overstate that enough. I mean, Mew, it carries. He is able. If we were talking Pokemon as actors, Mew would be, I don't know, the Paul Rudd of, you know, movie actors, of Pokemon actors, where he just, whenever he's present, he just takes it, and it's just so whimsical and charming and magical. And I just love seeing Mew. I mean, I would love to see another Mew movie. He just never gets old.
But the mystery of Mew. The mystery of Mew. Like, think of that subtitle. Like, is it really a mystery?
Well, not for us, but they were trying to figure out why Mew was there.
Is Mew what the mystery is, though? Like, what is... I don't know. It's a nitpicky thing, and that's a translation thing anyway.
Can I mention one more thing here that we kind of we skipped over in the main plot thing?
For sure.
Mew has a problem. Mew is a hoarder. And okay. I think he needs an intervention.
Not even not only a hoarder, a kleptomaniac.
And the people of the town are just like, yeah, Mew steals things. It's okay.
You know, it's like, it's this mystical being that'll just take stuff, and it's like, I don't know, man, it's not a big deal, because who really owns anything anyway, man? It's like, what is possession, man? Like, you're just putting a label on something as yours. Like, do any of us own, we don't own this tree? I don't know. That's... whatever. So I think the general consensus is not the worst, but it's not the best. I don't think it deserves... I think the hype that this movie gets should be directed towards Destiny to Deoxys.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
I think so, too.
I think Destiny Deoxys is a secret golden girl, the golden child of the Pokemon movie franchise, because there's stuff in that movie that's cool.
Yeah, and this one stems for the fact that also introduces Lucario, which we all know is Charizard 2.0. So that might be it also. Like, people hide... we're not saying it's terrible, but I think that may be why they hold this movie in its own little bubble of being that good, when it's actually may not be that good.
So you're saying DeviantArt is responsible? This is DeviantArt's fault. So yeah,
for me personally, I would disagree. I would rank this one above Destiny Deoxys, but hey, we all got our own opinions.
It's good to hear someone else's opinion, because it, otherwise it'd be me, just Jashira and I talking about how awesome Deoxys is. anyways,
and how much of a jerk Rayquaza was.
What a fucking I gotta edit that now. I made it so good. That's the first time I've sworn on the podcast in like probably half a year at this point. I've got a mailbag. We got mailbag.
Hey. Awesome.
This is unprecedented in Puckle Movie Club, I think. I think this is the first time we have a mailbag. Correct me if I'm wrong, somebody, but yeah, we've got two, which is awesome. Thank you so much for writing in, guys. For those of you who don't know, PucklePodcast@gmail.com, you could write in and put in the subject line that this is for the movie club, and we'll talk about your, we'll read your emails and talk about them. And we don't have the limit that Thatch has, because we're the Wild West out here. This is Puckle Movie Club, boy. I'll read as many emails as I can. I don't care. I'm a sucker for your attention. So, you guys ready for this?
Yeah.
So this is an email from Uncle Oshawott. Hey, Ethan, and whoever he has. This would be Jashiro and Snag. This is
Uncle Oshawott.
This is Uncle Oshawott writing in, if you guys don't mind. I think I'll hang out with you guys in this little spin-off show, because my sad Oshawott ears can't handle any more spoilers. What? That doesn't make any sense. What? Were the spoilers happening?
So Uncle Oshawott is kind of taking a hiatus from Puckle, because he doesn't want to be spoiled for Sun and Moon.
Oh, I'm flattered that to be in part of this meta-narrative going on in his life. well, great. Yeah, we're happy to have you, man. Write in next month, too. Like, let us know. So, what do we do over here? Just talk. So, Ethan, how was PuckleCon? Oh, you didn't go? Okay, well, how's the weather? I'm done. This podcast is over. People don't even want me around here anymore. I see how it is. You come to my show and insult me like this? Man, I don't deserve this.
Oh, God.
I put up episodes a day late once a month.
Send in your mailbag. I love the mailbag, too. Forget this. Never send anything in again.
It's over. No, welcome to the final episode of Puckle Movie Club. My career is over. Okay, so yeah, let's continue with this email. The weather's fine, I guess. I don't know. I got out of bed this morning and went to class. It was chilly. It was like lower 60s. And then when I got out of my classroom, it was like 85. And I had classes the entire rest of the day, so I couldn't go back to my apartment and change clothes. So I just was a sweaty boy all day. And my sweaty boy, I had a flannel shirt on and long pants, and I was a sweaty boy all day. This is not from the email, by the way. This is me talking about my weather. As he asked, what exactly am I supposed to write about? I'm just going to assume you want stories related to the 8th Pokemon movie. I guess it gave my computer malware that one time I tried to watch it. I'm going to go out on a limb, though, and say it was bad. Sorry, this email's crap. I don't know what I'm supposed to write about. Bye? Uncle Oshawott. That email's not crap. That is exactly the kind of email I want here at Puckle Movie Club. Go ahead.
That's the best email you've had so far, Ethan.
That is the greatest email up until this point in Puckle Movie Club history. I welcome any sort of animosity or just like jokes at my expense you bring, because I think that's hilarious. I think it's so funny that you called me out for that on my own podcast. I appreciate your gall, sir. You're gonna go far. This is sent from his Android because his iPod stopped working. P.S. I know it was crap. It's not that bad. That movie wasn't that bad. And your email is a banger. Throw me more emails like that, man. That's awesome. You guys ready for the next one here?
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
bring
please.
It on.
Oh, boy. Okay, so this is from... this is from Antonin. Does he go by Antonin on the site?
Antonin.
Yeah, he does go by that name. Okay, great. Hey, guys and gals at the movie club, my email will be long, so read at your leisure, or not at all, and pick out the interesting points, or not, smiley face. We're going for it. We read the emails here. Yeah, if you guys need to take a pee break, this would be a good time, because wow. I heard you rarely ever get emails about the movies. It's pretty sad. I'm a huge fan. I've been meaning to write in, but I keep forgetting when the new episodes are supposed to come out. I recently rewatched the Deoxys movie when I saw the new Pokemon Movie Club or Puckle Movie Club episode pop up in my podcast or aggregator, erg. Before I start this super lengthy email, let me say this. I love Pokemon, and I love the movies, even if they have felt like episode specials rather than the full-length movie features after movie 5. Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, how, like, they just kind of feel like an extended anime episode, and, he agrees. Deoxys is actually the last movie in the Pokemon franchise that I've watched, except for the most recent one. And I've been rewatching the entire series from the beginning, for the past few years, and I'm slowly closing up with Hoenn. Oh, by the way, the Jirachi movie wasn't that bad. The little do-do-do-do-do song is a song thing is perpetually stuck in my head, though. And I watched that movie, like, 4 months ago. You have my pity, good sir. You have my pity. Just like most of you, I dropped out of the Pokemon scene when I hit high school, or, well, even middle school. Most of my friends talked about Halo at that point, and, you know, they didn't know what they were talking about. Halo's awesome. And... you know, dating people. I was super broke at that point, too. I couldn't afford a DS to get into 4th gen, let alone afford the game itself. So I took a long break until the age of 20 and realized, hey, I'm working adult. I have money now. And off I went to get the 3DS. Soul Silver, the last few available copies, and started watching Indigo League. Now I have a house, a kid, a 3DS, an old school DS with a GBA slot to transfer my childhood up to Sun and Moon, and most of the games. House plus kid plus games means that while I'm still a working adult, the money is no longer there. Smiley face. That's a common problem, I believe.
I'm right there with you, Antonin. We've talked about this before.
Kids are expensive. Yeah, so many people have kids. I guarantee you that Thatch will have a child in the next 10 years.
I got a dog.
That's basically a kid. It's like a kid that sniffs around.
I made it. I have a kid then.
Oh man, it's like a fluffy kid.
Yeah,
but like they're better at taking care of themselves in some ways. They get sick less often. They can be quieter depending on how well trained your dog
mine
is.
Mine is, because, you know.
I don't know. Kids are great.
You know what's up.
Kids are great. Have kids.
They are.
But only when you're ready. Oh, we're cutting that out of the podcast. All right. I got to resume. I got to get my pep up for this email. I'm technically not at the point of the series to watch the Lucario movie, or to watch the Lucario movie, but I think it's okay to skip ahead. Winky face? I think that's a winky face. So, I'll watch it tonight. Thank you. Gotta keep up. And I want to take notes on this movie. Maybe you'll find it interesting. Ancient Pokemon World? Okay, so these are his notes, it seems. Ancient Pokemon World? Was this the idea behind Pokemon Conquest? I'd love to see the main series explore this topic further, and even introduce time travel. I got news for you, kid. Kid, that's mean. That's a mean thing to say. What am I doing? I got news for you, Antonin. Time travel is like integral to basically every single movie in this franchise, because that's a thing they love to do. Also, this movie has like kind of time travel in it, in a way.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. So we discussed this also. Like, I feel like they should dig further into fantasy worlds and stuff. I think it'd be interesting. Max, as always, is annoying. I'm glad he doesn't have much to do in this movie, guys. We didn't talk about that. Max doesn't do anything, except for the chocolate thing.
Yeah, he just tries to kill Lucario, so.
What if he's been the villain the whole time?
Yeah.
They've been setting him up as a heel so they can, you know, take him down at the end. Is that what happens to Max?
I have no idea.
I
completely blocked that out of my brain.
Like, what happens to Max in
at
the anime?
The end of this series, I think he and May go home and hang out with their dad at the gym or something.
They just hang out. They're just cooling. You know, after all these grand adventures, you think they're going to be able to settle down? Anyway.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Gosh, where was it going? Max is annoying. Max, as always, is annoying. I'm so glad that I don't have a little brother. I don't think little brothers are quite like Max, but I'm pretty sure this is the last movie with him. Right, guys? Right? I'm not sure. We'll find out next month, won't we?
Spoilers. He's in the Manaphy movie.
Oh, Manaphy and the Guardian of the Sea? No? Is that it? Or is it the Guardian of the Sea?
It's Pokemon Ranger and the Temple of the Sea.
Oh. Yes. Wait. So is Manaphy in that? I don't think I've ever actually seen that one.
Yes, Manaphy is in that movie.
We're heading into uncharted territory. Okay. I'm gonna speed this email up a little bit. Sorry, guys.
Yep, go follow through it. Go for it.
Does Ash have to beat every competition? Does he always have to be the chosen one? This is it. He gets it. This guy gets it. The art isn't too bad, but it definitely doesn't feel as polished as the earlier movies, and at times, it feels like they skipped a few transition images, so you have characters suddenly changing positions. The 3D graphics don't work well either, but when they slap a flat texture that has hand-drawn shadows onto a 3D model, it looks awkward that the shadows don't move with the camera. I hope that makes sense. I completely get it, that there's just low-detail 3D models, and they don't look great. Munchlax makes another appearance, which is always appreciated. Not a bad setup for the story, by the way, but where is this kingdom located? This annoys me a lot in the movies. They enter some region, city, or kingdom, and no one has a clue where it actually is in the Pokemon world. I'm sure there are fan theories on that kind of stuff. I don't know. This had a tie-in with Jirachi, so, you know, like... Who knows? Maybe somebody can create a Hyrule Historia type deal. You shared a photo here. Oh,
sorry, I'm being distracting.
No, it's fine. It's just a poster for Temple of the Sea, and that does not look terribly reassuring. Oh boy. Rock used to be such an awesome character. He offered older brotherly advice, was a voice of reason, always knew so much about Pokemon. Rip good old mature Brock. Yeah, Brock definitely got Flanderized. You guys know the term Flanders-ized or whatever?
No.
I understand the reference, but I don't. I'm not familiar. Go ahead.
So
tell us about it.
Flanderization is what happens when a character gets broken down to its most base element and becomes a joke. So, like, you know Flanders from The Simpsons? It's named after him, Ned Flanders?
Yep.
Yeah.
He just becomes, like a joke at some point, and he starts doing things that he wouldn't do, and it's all he is now is that one character trait of being hidely-dodely or whatever, you know. Like, Brock has become nothing more than a flirtation machine. Which will be the episode subtitle, by the way. Puckle Movie Club, Episode 8, Flirtation Machine. Okay, we're almost there, guys. Anyways, before this movie, I wasn't a big fan of Lucario. In fact, I found it an annoying Pokemon and could not understand why people were such big fans of it. After this movie, my heart has softened a tad. I hope you guys enjoyed this movie because it sure was better than the Jirachi movie and probably better than the Deoxys movie as well. Antonin. Thanks, Antonin. Really appreciate the
Anthony, even though you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opinion, but now you're wrong. Deoxys for life. Yeah, I'm going to make the stance here. Deoxys is the best movie, and this is not debatable. This is not up for debate. The official Pucko Movie Club stamp of approval, as approved by, like, me and, I guess, Jishiro... the best movie.
No one else in this galaxy.
Have words after the podcast, Ethan. We're gonna have words.
Okay, we'll have a real discussion about that later. Yeah. So that's for Antonin's email. I really appreciate the emails, guys. Keep them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your input is always appreciated. And we've gone way longer than I had initially anticipated. This is gonna probably be the longest episode yet. It's to make up for the delay that happened. My computer died this week, the day that we were, like, hours before we were supposed to record. So this is coming out a bit late, but I appreciate your patience. Thank you guys very much for being my co-host today.
Of course.
And
yeah, glad to do it. Please have me on again.
This was a great discussion, and I think we had a lot of fun here. And so, live for coming to you, or we came to you from where do I come from? The ruins of Alf. I think I established that we record in the ruins of Alf.
Yeah, we did.
So, from the ruins of Alf, I've been Ethan.
I'm Professor Snag.
And I am yours truly, Lord Yashiro.
And it is closing time. Cue the music. All right.
It's closing time.